The tax cuts passed the House. Investors are feeling good. Anything wrong with this picture?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll talk with the president of the University of California about staying competitive despite state budget cuts. But first, where's Wall Street? Markets are mixed right now. The Dow is down 23 points at 11,475. The Nasdaq up just a tenth of a percent, and the S&P 500 down about a tenth of a percent. Venezuela's parliament passed a law today that'll make it easier for the country's president to nationalize banks. Once President Hugo Chavez signs the law, banks there will also be required to give 5% of their profits to community groups. Now to a piece of legislation that'll be signed this afternoon here in the U.S., the tax cut package that passed the House last night. Chris Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial, and he joins us now live. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So the tax cuts passed. A lot of people are calling this a new round of stimulus. Meanwhile, I saw a new survey out today that says investors are the most bullish they've been since fall 07. Is this the beginning of a new boom?
Well, you know, it's when we see those big bullish numbers in surveys that we analysts get nervous. We actually saw exactly the same thing in November with bonds. People were so excited about the Fed's bond purchase program, they were all bullish. Since then, we've had the biggest sell-off in the bond market in about 10 years.
Right.
The problem is when something goes wrong, it's really ugly when they all rush for the exit at the same time.
Well, what is the worry that you're seeing? What evil could lurk on the horizon, Chris?
I think maybe one of the biggest threats is the European sovereign crisis. It hasn't gone away. In fact, Moody's just downgraded Irish debt 5 notches last night, and the Germans have blocked an effective expansion of the rescue package.
So that European debt crisis could rear its ugly head for us again. Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial, thanks and have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
The FDA says the world's best-selling cancer medication can't be used to treat breast cancer. The drug is called Avastin, and it's made by the pharmaceutical company Roche. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports.
Avastin brings in about $6 billion a year for Roche. The FDA's move could cut $1 billion in sales. The FDA said Avastin didn't extend patient survival and was accompanied by serious side effects. Dr. Hyman Muss at the University of North Carolina says in his experience, those side effects are manageable. He says the FDA's unusual decision might have something to do with cost.
Insurers, Medicare reimbursing for the cost of the drug, it certainly adds to the cost of health care.
Roche says it will appeal the FDA decision. Until that hearing, Avastin remains FDA approved for breast cancer patients. In New York, I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at Vanguard.com/public radio.
California's incoming governor, Jerry Brown, told the state's educators this week to get ready for more budget cuts. California faces a $25 billion budget deficit, but it's also a state known around the world for its top-notch public universities, places like Berkeley and UCLA. So how can states like California keep their higher ed institutions competitive in this economy? After all, private universities aren't tied to the ups and downs of state tax revenues. Let's turn to Mark Udoff. He's president of the University of California, and he joins us now. Mr. Udoff, welcome to Marketplace.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Obviously, the tough spot for a public university is that the mission is to offer an education of top quality at an affordable cost. And at the same time, you want to make sure that you have the money to spend on faculty to remain competitive with private institutions. How do you fulfill both of those goals without either making drastic cuts or raising tuition?
We have raised our fees, tuition to other people, to roughly $12,000. We're still below a number of other prominent public universities. But the really important thing is not just what you charge, but who you teach. So what we've done is we've tried to modulate the system to make sure that if you're making under $80,000, you're not paying anything. we really do need to do something about faculty salaries in particular. But I don't know what to say. I'm a believer in markets. If you want the best people, you need to pay for it. And you're paying for people who not only transmit knowledge, but create knowledge.
Do the politicians at the state level, the ones who are controlling the purse strings, do they understand how important it is to stay competitive with the big private institutions?
I think some of them do understand, but I would say most of them don't. And there's always the danger that you'll be treated as just one more state agency, and we are different. Our place in bringing California back is critically important. I mean, we will create the jobs and the new products. You know, we're responsible in part, obviously, for Silicon Valley, for the agricultural revolution. It seems to me those are the types of things that will bring California back. We're not going to be the low tax state. We're not going to be the low regulatory state. We have to be smarter, and being smarter involves higher education.
Do you think that it makes sense for any parts of a university to go private, to get away from the woes of the state?
I don't think it makes sense. We're a consummately California institution. The people of the state have paid for it over 100 years. They've sent their children and grandchildren. I can't guarantee that the tuition doesn't go up, but I think we have to preserve the access and preserve the quality. And we need to figure out formulas to do that. We're not going to throw in the towel and say we're a private institution. I don't think that works for this university.
Mark Udoff, president of the University of California, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, sir.
And an extended interview with President Udoff is on our website. It's marketplace.org. Finally, while we're talking cash-strapped education systems, the school board in Los Angeles has voted to bring in some cash by allowing corporations to sponsor school programs. They'll be able to put their corporate logo in the school cafeteria or on the football field. I just hope it doesn't get us to the point where today's calculus class is brought to you by AIG. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
It's a tricky balance. You blow the whistle on financial fraud at your firm and you get a huge bounty, or you don't and you keep a low profile.
If you don't protect the whistleblower, he or she is simply not going to step forward.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. The cost-benefit analysis of new whistleblower rules in our series Economy 4.0. That's next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.